Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? Divers love gear. They love the shiny stuff. You only have to read the social media posts about the latest computer, DPV, CCR, or BCD, or wing that you need to have, or someone has just bought. We love the comfort of how we've always done it, or my instructor told me to do it that way. However, when it comes to learning, really learning, deep learning, we often struggle. This pattern isn't unique to diving. Two very different high-risk worlds, the fire service and the oil and gas industry, have spent decades wrestling with the same challenge: how to implement crew resource management, CRM, and non-technical skills, NTS programs, into environments immersed in habit, hierarchy, and operational pressure. This blog is for those who want to learn. The lessons and experiences described shine a bright light on why diving agencies, clubs, and teams frequently find it difficult to move beyond checklists, buddy skills, and glossy manuals. They are prevented from moving deeper about how and why divers behave in the way they do, why accidents and incidents keep happening, and it's not human error or stupidity, and more importantly, what we can do about it. The hardest part: changing hearts and minds, not checklists or process. What's in it for me? In the US Fire Service, the introduction of crew resource management wasn't blocked by lack of evidence, enthusiasm, or even funding. According to Okray and Lubnow, the biggest barrier was psychological. Firefighters like doing things, not talking about concepts, and they're fiercely attached to tradition. Changing behavior is akin to quitting tobacco products, and we know how hard that can be to start with. But when the social norms shift, it becomes easier. Does this sound familiar to you? Divers too often resist anything that asks them to think differently about risk, communication, leadership, or decision making. We can see that we'd rather spend money on a new computer, a camera, a CCR, or a DPV than talk honestly about how we make decisions under stress or why we didn't speak up when something looked wrong. The fire service learned something crucial. If you want behavior change, you must influence the change around the identity of the firefighters, not the information being provided to them. This is why we recognize that simply teaching divers about human factors or giving them a model like debrief won't embed learning. It has to become part of the culture, something people expect, use, and reinforce. Providing a language and concepts are critical, but they aren't going to make the real difference. Leaders, ambassadors, and supporters make that difference by demonstrating theory in action, reflection on action, walking the talk about learning. Behavioural markers, what good actually looks like. The IOGP's work on behavioural markers in oil and gas shows another key lesson: you can't improve what you can't describe. Their non-technical skills frameworks define concrete examples of good and poor behaviours across situation awareness, decision making, communication, teamwork, and leadership. In the human factors in diving applied skills classes, we provide students with the behavioural marker scheme to describe what good looks like, and this then helps make their debriefs more accurate and targeted. For example, regularly checks key sources of information is a good behaviour. Finds reasons not to act on unexpected information is a poor one. Shares information clearly and at the right time is good. Only communicates information that supports what they want is poor. These examples come from the offshore drilling world, but they map perfectly onto diving. Think of a diver who is so focused on their camera that they miss that their remaining pressure is below the minimums briefed, or a dive leader who briefs a complex task but ignores team capacity and the factors that impact performance like cold, time pressures, or stuff that is going on at home, or a student who notices something odd but assumes they're the instructor, they must know. These aren't technical failures, they are behavioural failures. They are failures of non-technical skills. The oil and gas recommendation is clear: behavioural markers must be observable, specific, contextual, and used consistently. Right now, most sports diving systems don't do this. They talk about good buddy skills and stay aware, but these are vague. Without a shared picture of what good and poor non-technical skills look like, it is like trying to manage buoyancy without understanding the physics of gas volumes, the impact of weighting, and the shift in weight when we progress through a dive and gas is consumed. You're just guessing. If you don't have a common language, how do we communicate clearly? Or rather, a better question, if we don't have a common language, how often does miscommunication happen? Breaking the command knows best illusion. One of the most powerful findings in the fire service crew resource management rollout was shockingly simple. Most junior firefighters admitted they wouldn't tell command if they saw a dangerous condition because they already know. Not much different to the analysis of aviation cockpit voice recorders in the 1970s and 1980s when crew resource management was being developed. Co-pilots and engineers knew that something was not right, but they couldn't speak up, and aircraft and people were lost as a consequence. This is identical to what divers tell me and other instructors on the human factors in diving applied skills courses. I didn't say anything because they were the instructor. I assumed he knew where we were. She was more experienced. I didn't want to embarrass myself. Hierarchy, formal or informal, kills communication unless the leader has flattened the authority gradient by helping to develop psychological safety. In diving, where teams are fluid, mixed experience, and often unfamiliar with each other, this silence can lead to serious or deadly outcomes. As the fire service discovered, asking one brave question can unlock buy-in across the entire leadership chain. Try this in your dive club or course. If you saw something dangerous underwater, would you speak up to the most experienced diver in the team? Then ask. If it was someone else who was also junior, would they speak up to the most experienced diver in the team or club? The former is easier to defend because we don't want to appear weak, but it is easier to describe what others would do, and in that way, we protect our pride. The responses will tell you more about your team culture than any in-water exercises when everything goes right. The documentary, If Only, has numerous examples of authority gradient in action. There is a workbook you can download from the link in the show notes, which will allow you to run a great exercise in your club to explore discussions like this in a safe, low jeopardy environment. Embedding non-technical skills. Not a weekend course, but a culture. The fire service learned the hard way that crew resource management can't be delivered in a one-off training block. They realized it must be baked into everything. Drills, debriefs, leadership, day-to-day decisions, even the language that is used. Oil and gas discovered the same thing. Behavioral markers weren't just for training. They improved incident investigation, shift handovers, emergency response, and everyday operations. This was my personal experience in the oil and gas sector in the Middle East. We would deliver 2 days of training and then 7 days of coaching on the oil platform. The difference in uptake and application was marked. People got it because they could see how it can be applied. For diving, this is the crucial point. Non-technical skills and human factors isn't a course, it's a habit. We need to integrate communication skills, situation awareness prompts, shared mental models and debriefing tools into briefings, pre-dive checks, planning discussions, post-dive conversations, instructor evaluations, and club-level mentoring. Diving doesn't need more PowerPoint. It needs everyday examples, reflection, curiosity, and practice. It's one of the reasons we run the human factors in diving applied skills classes, because the activity brings the reality of non-technical skills to life in a high-pressured, high-stress environment. It is also why the 2026 Human Factors in Diving Conference, running 30th of May to the 6th of June in Vis, Croatia, will involve applied skills classes in the morning and up to 2 dives in the afternoon, bringing the learning to life. Finally, it's why we include stories in most of the blogs this year and why each module in the Human Factors in Diving Essentials class starts with a story. Why diving organizations struggle to learn, which involves change. The lessons from both fire and oil and gas reveal a blunt truth. Learning organizations aren't created by systems or procedures. they are created by behaviors and relationships and the want to learn and improve. If you don't evolve and the world is moving on, you are actually going backwards. Diving organizations often struggle with tradition and inertia. This is how we teach it. Hierarchy, don't question the instructor. Fear of blame, if we acknowledge error, we'll get sued or look incompetent. Fragmented teams, most divers rarely dive with the same people twice. Lack of psychological safety, no space to ask the stupid questions. And poor debriefing practices, most don't debrief at all. Both the fire service and oil and gas found that implementing crew resource management or non-technical skills is threatening because it changes the power dynamics and shifts authority from the expert to the team. The change encourages challenge, not compliance, and in the process, it highlights gaps in competence that people would rather hide. Diving is no different. Conclusion: the diving world needs the same courage. Implementing crew resource management in the fire service was described as harder than natural childbirth. Oil and gas took years to get non-technical skills into place, and it is only those with strong leadership who have managed it, even with comprehensive guidance. Neither industry changed because of attending a course. They changed because leaders and teams committed to becoming learning organizations, one interaction at a time. Diving needs the same courage. The human diver team are providing the resources and nudges, but we can't control what happens in agencies, clubs, or dive centers. Some organizations have started to put materials in place, but there are errors in them, and we've provided some feedback. We do have success stories. Nick at Fifth Point, Brent at Scuba Adventures, Mark at Tech Deep Asia, and a bunch more, including this quote from a friend who has worked to bring human factors into their research organization. Here, reporting mistakes or non-compliances was leading to people being banned and punished. When we arrived, the researchers were terrified about talking to us. Now they feel safe, they call us, they ask, they stop us around, they self-report. 9 months made a big difference. Leadership makes the difference. Before the next incident, before the next close call, before the next social media debate about bad divers, think about what one thing you can do to be better than yesterday by applying the knowledge to your practice. If you want some pointers, whether you're at the training agency level or the team level, get in touch via the contact form. Part 2 out next week will give you the practical tools and processes to put in place so that you can make a difference in diving. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.